Good morning, Tom. Congratulations on a big win yesterday.
Thanks. Yeah, it was a great win for our team. It was a tough, you know, very hard fought game. So I'm glad we pulled it out.
Tom, you say a win is a win in this league. They all count the same. Richard Seymour and Dallas Clark on the CBS pregame said everybody in preparation for a huge game believes it feels different, believes the preparation feels different. It means more, but nobody in the room will say it out loud. Will you admit publicly that yesterday was, I don't know, 1% more significant than your other six wins yesterday?
They all count. They do. They count the same in the end. I think, you know, when you play one of the best teams in the league, I think there's a sense of urgency that's created by that. And, you know, everything could cost you the game and practice and a week of preparation, the meeting. So it's just, there's such a heightened sense of, you know, really accountability, because when you're playing a team that can, you know, score on defense, they can score on offense, you know, they can put, you know, in the 40s and 50s the points. So you just got to do as well as you possibly can all week, and then you go out there and you see where you're at. But they're a very good football team. I mean, they didn't play their best yesterday, obviously. You know, I don't think we played our best either. But it was a great win for our team. It was, you know, one that we really needed. And when you play these games at home, you really got to take advantage of it. And we really did yesterday.
But would you agree that a victory over a great football team is a more significant measuring stick than getting by a winless team that doesn't seem to be going anywhere?
Well, the NFL is a week-to-week team. It's a week-to-week league. It's not, you know, the measuring sticks and all that. I mean, you could play an 0-8 team and you know, they could have just their best game of the year, and they got a lot of talented players, and you could lose those games. It doesn't mean, you know, it means on that particular day you were worse than that 0-8 team, but, you know, we played the Miami Dolphins, you know, when they were 1-13 and lost to them. And we were 13-1 at one point. Were we worse than them? No, we were that night. And I think that's the urgency that you have to create every week, because every team is really talented. Every team can only spend the same amount of money on particular players. Every team has NFL caliber talent. And if you catch a team at the wrong time or the right time, you know, things can be different. I thought we got off to a good start. We played from ahead the way we talked about playing, and we're able to make some plays here in the second half to close it out. But they got a good football team. You know, they'll be a force to be reckoned with down the stretch.
You know, I think you said it maybe a month ago, Tom, after the Bengals game, that, you know, you're a work in progress. A Belichick coach team generally gets better as the season goes on, usually better in December than you are in September. But I'm wondering, even you have to be surprised how much better you got in the last 4 weeks.
Well, I think we've always just kind of believed in each other and believe what we're doing. So, you know, when it's a great lesson, just, and Coach talks about it, you know, ignore the noise. And I think for a long time when he says it, it's because, you know, we've won a lot of games, and people, you know, whether it's family or friends or people who support you and love you and watch you, and, you know, they tell you how great you are and how all these things that are, you know, really positive things, that if you get caught up in that, then, yeah, maybe you lose your urgency. And then the other part of that is ignore the noise when things aren't going well. And that's when people tell you, you know, you're the worst team and you're the worst players and the worst everything. And it's, you know, you got to ignore those things also. And it's just, you know, none of those things are going to affect the outcome of the game. What really affects the outcome is what we do on a weekly basis, showing up to work and believing that we're doing the right things to help our team improve. And, you know, earlier in the year, you know, we're not the team that we're going to be that we were now. You know, the team that we're going to be at the end of December is going to be different than the team we are now. So I hope we're a better team. That's the goal. But, you know, that just doesn't magically happen. I think you got to go in and you got to work really hard at it. You got to pay the price in advance. And, you know, the guys have really, you know, for the guys who have been here for a while, we know that's what it's all about. And with the new players that you have from year to year, Coach Belichick always does a great job of, you know, letting them know of what's expected of them.
But I think you guys got more criticism after that Chiefs game than I've ever heard, at least in recent years. And I was wondering, do you have to ignore the noise, or do you use it sometime? People were saying, you know, you guys had done, that you were in decline, that, you know, Belichick had lost it. Do you take that as fodder? I mean, do you use it as motivation ever, or do you have to ignore it? Do you have to just block it out?
I think it's just, we've been really fortunate to have successful teams over the years, and that's just the expectation that's been set. So there was, you know, opportunities to think something different, and that's totally fine. You know, people can obviously think whatever they want, and, you know, I think the expectation when we've had years where we go undefeated or where we have, you know, 14-2 or 13-2, those are hard to do. That's not easy by any stretch, and the guys who are in the locker room know how hard it is to do. And, you know, we're sitting at a point where we didn't play very good on the road against a, you know, good team who, you know, played great that night. And, you know, it's earlier in the year. We it just wasn't our night. But, you know, there's nights where you don't play your best. There's days where you don't play your best. We, like I said, I don't think we played our best yesterday. I'm glad we won. I'm glad we took advantage of some opportunities that we got. You know, we got some short fields, the turnovers on defense. You know, they didn't convert some fourth downs. We had a great punt return. There was a lot of things that happened that threw kind of the score out of balance and didn't make it much of a game there in the fourth quarter. But, you know, a couple of those plays are different. The game's a lot closer. It could come down to the end. But, you know, I think that, you know, we got to really evaluate the things that we haven't done a very good job of, the things that we have done a good job of over the first 9 weeks. I think there's a much more of a sample size at this point. You know, in the second week of the year, you don't have a sample size. You think that you can do some things, and you go out there and you try, and it doesn't work. You know, and then you regroup. And I think after 9 games, we'll have a decent idea of kind of an evaluation of our team that the coaches always do a great job of during our bye weeks. And then, you know, you try to just get to your best stuff, and you do the things that have been the most consistent when it matters the most, because we got, you know, 7 huge games coming up. All of them are really important. And, you know, the games get bigger as the season goes because you have a lot fewer of them. And, you know, we got a lot of good teams on our schedule, a lot that are going to challenge us, none more than the Colts here in 2 weeks. And, you know, we're going to have to try to take advantage of the extra time to prepare for them and be ready to go now, you know, the second half of the season.
It was hard watching on TV. It was hard to tell if the conditions were as bad as they seemed like a couple of hours before. So I guess I'd ask this. Is there part of you that when you wake up yesterday and you see that it's snowing, you see that it's cold, you see it's windy, is there part of you that thinks, good, I've had a lot of success here, maybe some other people haven't, and I know I and my team can succeed? Is there part of you that says, it's good that it's lousy outside?
Yeah, well, I think that's an advantage for, I think, our team, because we play in these elements all the time. We practice in them. Every week we're outside. It seems like the crappier the weather is, the more excited coach is to get outside and practice in it. So we had a day this previous game before we played the who did we play 2 weeks ago, and it was a rainy day on that Thursday.
Oh, the Jets game.
The Bears.
Bears.
Yeah, so we're playing the Bears on that Thursday. It was a really wet, rainy day, and we're out there on the field, and he's walking around saying, what better of an opportunity do we have to work on, you know, these conditions than today? I mean, it can't get any better than this, you know, and that's just his attitude. And the players, you know, we listen to him, and, you know, he's excited about being out there, and, you know, we get out there and we work in it for 2 hours, and, you know, you gain some confidence that, okay, no matter what the conditions are, we can go out and execute. We can run, we could catch, we could block, and we're not going to let the weather be a factor in what we're doing. And, you know, I think that's, you know, a game like yesterday where it snows and then it's sunny during warmups, and then it got really windy as the game went on. So you just try to gain the confidence that whatever the conditions are, you're going to go out there and try to execute. And I thought, you know, at times we did a decent job. At times I thought could have done a better job. But, you know, that's just, you know, that's the way it goes. I'm glad we won. But, you know, we're going to have to try to, you know, put this one behind us and try to, like I said, use this time as a little bit of evaluation process and then move on to Indianapolis.
So, Tom, it sounds like mental toughness, at least in this realm, can be taught. It can be coached. Does anybody on the squad even bother to bitch and moan when Bill says we're going outside in the rain, or is the most you get like a rolling of the eyes?
No, I think we all expect it. So it's actually when he says we're going to the bubble, everyone's kind of like, what?
Uh-huh.
What did he say?
Yeah.
Because we're just, you know, we expect just to play in it. And like I said, we've had a lot of weather games affect, you know, our team. I would say in the first, I don't know, in the first 7, 8, 9 years of my career, there weren't many. And then, you know, I'd say last year there were a lot of games. 2 years ago there were a lot of games that the weather played a significant factor in the game. Last year there were plenty, and then, you know, this year there's been some. So whether that's the wind, whether that's the rain, whether that's the snow, or you know, we probably play in those conditions more than, you know, just ideal conditions like you'd play in, you know, some of the southern states or western states. So, you know, we just get used to it, try to use it to our advantage, and you know, it has been certainly playing at home.
Hey, I don't know if you know the answer to this because you wouldn't be in the offensive linemen's meetings, but they all come out there in short sleeves when it's zero in January and a wind chill factor of minus 10. What happens if one of them says, I want to wear sleeves? Does peer pressure take over in that regard?
yeah, that wouldn't happen.
No, really?
That wouldn't happen. That doesn't work that way.
Hey, we all saw the catch. I heard what you said. It was one of the great catches you'll ever see by Gronk there at the goal line. Didn't get in the end zone. You guys, after the replay, line up. You look over. You see Von Miller covering Gronk. How does it work? Do you just give him a little wink? Is it an option for Gronk to go to the corner on kind of a fade route or cut in like he did for the touchdown? And how do you know what he's going to do?
That is top secret information.
Oh, yeah.
We cannot divulge. Those are touchdown plays. Hopefully it's not the last time you see it. So we always have a lot of options out there. So, you know, if you find a mismatch, then you try to take advantage of it. And if they have a mismatch in the run game, you got to use it in the pass game and vice versa. If they're going to play those passes, then you got to pound it in. So whatever they do.
Do you know your eyes like bulged out of your head though when you saw that mismatch? You gave it away.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, they didn't figure it out. So maybe the 7 cameras that were, you know, focused on that picked that up on TV. But, you know, the guys on the field didn't see anything.
It was the smile followed by the laugh that yeah, gave it away, Jerry.
I can't believe. I mean, why would they have why'd you get them in that spot where they have to have a linebacker or a pass rusher chasing Gronk at that point? Doesn't seem to make any sense.
Yeah, that's their choice.
Hey, do you rank catches? I mean, obviously Randy Moss probably has like 4 of the top 5 balls that were caught by, you know, that you threw, that guys caught. But would this be top 5?
Yeah, I think that's one of the greatest catches I've ever seen, without a doubt. It was running across the field. You know, he does it with his left hand.
Behind him.
In traffic, in the middle of the field. And that was, and had the presence to land and get into the end zone. I mean, that was, I've never seen like it. So
with that punk T.J. Ward bearing down on him. I said that earlier. That's when you knew Gronk had gotten past the injury. That's when you knew he was playing without fear, because Ward was right there when he reached back and kind of laid out.
Yeah, and all those balls that, you know, Gronk is catching are over the middle. All those balls are, you know, those balls are tough to catch. I mean, he's in traffic. He's going to get hit. But, you know, he's a spectacular player. And, you know, he's just matured so much. Football is so important to him. He's got a great love for the game. And I think that really wears off on his teammates. So when he's going, it's so great for everybody else. And, you know, a lot of other guys made some big plays last night. Jules made huge plays. Brandon LaFell made some huge plays. Danny Imp made some huge third down catches. You know, it was just a lot of guys participated in that, and that's what it took. And defensively, those guys made a bunch of plays. Special teams, it was a great, you know, team win, a great complimentary game. And, you know, it was awesome.
Yeah, we were talking about in the first hour before you came on here, Tom, with Welker yesterday, the way he left the game and the way it's been for him the last couple of years. Now, obviously, I know, we know that you're friends with him. The relationship, we know you're a football player too, so the mentality might be different, but is there any part of you when you watch him now and you think it might just be better if he's not playing football anymore?
You know, that's Wes's decision, and you know, what makes Wes so great is just that he's got the most mental toughness, and he's just nobody, you know, works harder than him. So, you know, whatever he decides, that's what his personal decisions are. I mean, I cheer for him every week. I mean, he's one of my best friends outside of when we play him, and I hate to see him go out of the game. He's just he's meant so much to our team and so much to me as a friendship and as a person that, you know, I always root for the best for him. So, I hope he's doing okay.
Tom, we asked this question in the first hour, and we three idiots did not know the answer. So I'll ask you, how fast is your fastball? It's slower than a pitcher's fastball, correct?
Yeah, it would be. The ball's a lot smaller.
Right.
You know, they throw from an elevation, you know, an elevated, for the mound.
Have they ever put a jugs gun on your fastball with the football?
No, we've never done that.
You have any idea what it is? Like, is it 70, 80?
No, it wouldn't be 80. That would be, you couldn't throw it that hard. Maybe, no, nobody could throw it 80.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question.
I think it's like 70 or so that tops. Were you a decent pitcher in your day? I know you were a catcher when you got drafted, but could you pitch?
Pitching wasn't for me. I was much more of a catcher. And I had a good arm as a catcher. But those guys with the real long levers, the real long arms, those are guys that are pretty good pitchers.
Okay,
I don't have that kind of arm.
We can't let this entire interview be roses and candy, so I'm going to go to the negative side just a bit. Of these five things, which pissed you off the most yesterday? Settling for two field goals at the beginning of the game, the two misses deep to LaFell, both at about the 10-yard line, or getting whacked out of bounds?
I think the misses down the field probably bothered me the most.
Yeah.
Especially the first one, because I had them. I knew it. I just put a little too much on it. So that would have been a great one to start the game with. That would have, really gave us some great momentum there. I wish we could have taken advantage of that. So probably that one the most.
All right, this is a technical quarterback question. When you are going with the wind, that throw in particular, do you think I need to put less on this, or do you just look at it and let the natural, organic throw take the ball where it's going to be? I don't know if you understand the question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I think you just try to throw it normally.
Uh-huh.
You try to throw it normally, and then if the wind catches it and takes it a little further, then it does. And if you're going the opposite direction, it takes it a little more. It's, when you, the longer the ball's in the air when you're in wind, it's going to affect it a little bit, but... I wish I could have hit that one. I know I could have hit that one. There was enough margin of error for me on that one. Mm. I mean, it didn't need to be dropped in a bucket. He was open by, yards, 3 or 4 yards probably. So those are the ones you can't miss.
Hey, a month ago, you're flying home from Kansas City after that ass whooping. Was there any optimism on that airplane? Was there any sense that you could see this coming?
Well, we kind of know what team we are through mini camps, training camp. You kind of go, okay, well, we do a lot of things well. We got a lot of good players. We got some depth. And then you start the season, and we went to Miami and didn't start well, and won two straight after that, and then went to Kansas City and got our butts kicked. That happens, and I still think at that point you go, look, we've had all these practices, all these practices that we've done that we've executed at a high level. We're not doing that. So if we can just start executing, I think we'll be a lot better team. So I think we just believed in what we're doing, and it's you don't throw the season out after the fourth game of the year. You just – there's a lot of football to be played. There still is. We're still not even, we're still 3 or 4 games from knowing who we are, what we're going to be. And, we got some tough games coming up. They're all tough at this point. And like I said, they all mean more because there's less of them. So we got, the toughest one coming up against Indy. That's going to be as tough as it gets. And we're going to have to go out there and play our very best.
Tom, you said at the dais yesterday that with the bye week, it'll give you an opportunity to work on things that we can do better. Can you give us one for example?
Well, I mean, we're gonna go in and look at, you know, all those things. That's probably all top secret stuff too. I mean, I don't really want to tell anybody what things we need to do better. I'll let them figure it out. But, you know, we're going to evaluate a lot of those things. But there is a lot we could do better, trust me. There's a lot of plays that we're leaving out there. It's constant communication. You know, that's where it all starts. If you screw up the communication, then, you know, it's hard to do anything right, because you need all 11 guys on the same page, especially in offense, working together. And, you know, we worked through some things. You know, we've been really fortunate with some injuries this year where, you know, outside of, you know, Steven and Gerard, we've held it together pretty good. You know, those guys are, you know, we miss having those guys out there with us, but, you know, we're just going to keep, you know, understanding things we got to do better and try to do a better job of them.
Okay, we get you out of here with the quarterback question of the week, brought to you by your New England Cadillac dealers. Visit newenglandcadillac.com for your exceptional offers. How did Halloween go with Barf and Belch, and is your wife actually going to let the kids eat all that candy?
It was great. There was dragons. It was a dragon Halloween theme. We had a great time. We actually went to our old neighborhood in the Back Bay and trick-or-treated with the kids. And it was a little cold, so one of our son was underdressed, so he didn't want to be out there too long. But we had a great time, and it's a great holiday for the kids. So it was fun to do it.
But she's replacing all the Hershey bars with apples and stuff, right?
Yeah, she does. She's pretty tough with candy with our kids. So I'm the one that's always sneaking them the good stuff.
Were you recognized as Barf and Belch Friday night?
It was pretty good. There may have been a few curious people, but, you know.
You were incognito.
To come up and ask.
All right, Tom. Great win. Enjoy the bye week. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, great, guys. Thanks.